At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
To the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Charlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Edna White, and you are on Keeping It Real on Purpose. And today we have a guest that is a doctor as well as an author. And I'm really excited. So I need you guys to stick around because she may drop some jewels that can inspire you and make you wake up to some things you didn't even know. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gala Gorman.
Nice to be here, Edna. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. So how do you show up in the world?
So I am an acupuncturist, a naturopath, and obviously an author, as you mentioned. And so I work with mature women to help them reverse the effects of chronic stress. So that's what I'm here wanting to talk to your audience about today, is just how important it is to recognize when stress is escalating and to learn to reverse that before it really escalates and creates big problems for you.
Okay, so give us a one and a two step how we know.
Well, stress creates, the research shows that stress creates 80% of disease. And so I think those statistics are actually too low because they're not really including all the forms of stress that I look at in my practice. And so when you are seeing symptoms, a symptom in any form, that is a sign that your body has been dealing with some stress, that it just finally got to the point where it couldn't manage it any longer. Because a symptom does not show up unless the problem has been around for a while, because our bodies just kind of deal with it. You know, we're designed to deal with toxins and other sorts of stressors. So if a symptom shows up, that means it's hit overload.
Yeah. I talk about that a lot. I think we do the same thing, but you're a doctor, and I have been saying this for years because I know it has helped. It has affected my life. and trauma, you know, holding on to trauma and dealing with, that's another layer of the stressors. So I want to talk about, what's your kryptonite? This is the book you wrote to manage toxic stressors. So I want to talk about this. Tell us how you just thought about starting this.
Well, the book had been in the works for several years. Okay. But I lost my sister to cancer a couple of years ago. Right. And that's kind of a long story, but the short version of that story is that she was superwoman in her world, single mom, professional, you know, burning the candle at both ends, full and fulfilling life, but obviously way too much stress. And and when you're dealing with that much stress, any little extra stressor can be the straw that broke the camel's back, right?
Absolutely.
So anyway, she ended up getting cancer, and after a number of years and all kinds of treatment and everything you could throw at it, she ended up passing away. And at that point, I just knew that I had to get this book finished and get it out there. And when I was talking to someone about the title of the book and some ideas of how to really obviously make it intriguing and catchy, but also, you know, a fit appropriately, I said, well, you know, it's kind of like kryptonite, where, like, you know, it's this toxic thing that is draining your energy, but it's not just like sitting out there in plain sight. It's kind of hidden. And you just have to really recognize that it's there without being able to see it, and and be willing to do something about it. So, so we continued on in the conversation, and a few sentences later, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. What was that you said about kryptonite? And we kind of went back and hashed it out, and we ended up coming up with the that as the title for the book. So.
Oh, that's so good. I often talk about that, you know, being Superwoman. Superwoman kind of killed me. It kind of I gave that role up years ago. I don't want it. I don't want to be super. I want to be vulnerable. I want to be my authentic self, which is, it's just, it's so bad that we're taught that, you know, to be everything to everybody except for ourselves, right? So
yeah, that's one of the things that I really encourage readers to do, is become their own PCP. So in the medical world, PCP is primary care practitioner. But I encourage my readers to become their own PCP, which is primary care person. And and if you're not going to do it, nobody else is going to take that job.
Nobody else is going to do it. And this is so right. A few months ago, I was dealing with high cholesterol, and I'm already on a restrictive diet, not because I want to, but because my body just doesn't accept certain things. And so I'm limited in what I can eat and things like that. So I'm more plant-based than normal. And so I went to the doctors, and he says, oh, your cholesterol is 2 points below the whatever that number is that they say. And I said, oh, really? So I says, how do you get that? How do you get that number? And he's like, oh, we do this data thing. And, we saw the studies and blah, blah. I said, okay, are any of those people that you're referring to that have this number look like me, have my makeup? You know, and then he was like, no, it's in general, everybody. I said, that's not acceptable to me.
Yeah, exactly. And there's definitely genetic
differences,
and you cannot look at a one size fits all scenario. That's one of the beauties of the way I evaluate people using my bioenergetic scanning and proprietary process.
Yeah, I saw that in the book.
It does not, it communicates with you and your body. There's no like predetermined normal, if you will.
And that was, you know, that was the first time I think I've never had any problems. Never. I've always, you know, advocated for myself at you know, whenever I went to any doctors, any type of doctors, and spoke up. So it was very sad to me that he gave me a medication that reacted to me really badly. I got cramps all in my body, and I was like, I can't take this medication. So I call him and I say, hey, I can't take this. My son had to come and get me out of bed. My muscles were so tight and twisted that I did. It was horrible. And he's like, well, yeah, that's some term he gave it. And some people react, but you reacted, you know, severely to it. So he says, I'll give you something else. And I was like, is it the same type of thing? You know? And he's like, yeah, you have to take this because it prevents you from having a heart attack at 70. I said, but what is it doing to my body from 50 to 70?
Right.
What is it doing? Can you explain to me that? And we're arguing. We're literally arguing in the doctor's office. So that's when I knew. I was like, okay, this is not good. This is not good. And audience, you know, Dr. Gallagher speaks about this in her book in the first part. And I love it when he says, we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system. Mm-hmm. And speaking for yourself, you know, you have to speak up to the doctors because sometimes they think they're God. They think they're God.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, your story is so common. And fortunately, you were willing to, especially after your horrible, it's called an ab reaction or an abnormal reaction. With your first medication, you know, after that, fortunately, you weren't willing to just keep, you know, guinea pigging yourself with whatever he threw at you. Yeah. But one of the things that I have to say two things. One is I am not a medical doctor. I do not prescribe medication ever. And if you have been prescribed medication, that's between you and your prescribing physician, and I won't get in the middle of that because that is creating all kinds of reactions in your body that are very challenging for me to work around, okay? Yeah. That's not to say we can't, but if we're going to try, we've got to get everybody on board, right? Because I use herbs and supplements and all of the things I use potentially are contraindicated in if you're also taking prescription medication. So I want to like say that first.
And then
secondly, if you are fortunate to be one of the ones who has not already started taking prescription medication, when you end up in that first chair, getting that diagnosis where the doctor says, I need to put you on this medication.
Right.
You know, the first question is for how long? And most likely they're going to say forever, right?
Right.
And so the minute they say forever, you say, whoa, you know, definitely not forever is not my jam. So, so if they say forever, you say, whoa. And then you say, okay, let's give it 6 months. And let's do everything we can in the next 6 months. They may be able to help you. They may not, because they're really not going to be on board with you trying to do your own thing. But let's give it 6 months. Yeah. Let's make some serious lifestyle changes and adjustments. Let's monitor it. And if at 6 months it hasn't gotten better or it's gotten worse, then I'll reconsider. But in that 6 months, you are going to get serious. You're going to get serious like you had just received a cancer diagnosis and you had to go get chemotherapy every week. You know, like you're going to get serious about changing your diet, changing your other lifestyle, exercise if you need to, you know, everything you need to do to lowering your stress, all the things you need to do. You know, sometimes what's going on with us is, let me just say, in my practice, maybe 30% or so, somewhere between 30 and 50% of the improvements happen just from diet, lifestyle kind of adjustments. Mm-hmm. Another 30 to 50% happens because of a customized protocol I put together that addresses the specific things that I identify, right? Mm-hmm. But if you add those numbers up, you can see that somewhere between 60 and 100%, meaning 30-30 is 60 and 50-50 is 100. So somewhere between like 60 and 100% is this factor of the unknown. And those right. are the people with these mysterious situations that just take a combination of our sleuthing, you becoming really aware of what's going on in, for you and in your body, and all these factors that no doctor is ever going to ask you enough questions, be able to, even if they wanted to, they couldn't spend enough time with you. They can't like go home with you and observe everything you're doing. So you've got to participate and collaborate in that kind of exchange. And unfortunately, most medical doctors really, that's not the kind of relationship they have with their patients. So, so that's just something I think to be mindful of with medication is that it's super powerful. It is designed to disrupt internal communications that communicate with our cells and our body systems for creating a myriad of things. You know, I mean, if you imagine the most complex computer program, that is the human body, right? Yep. And so we think this medication can interrupt this one little thing and that it's not going to have a domino effect of interrupting a bunch of other things, which is essentially what happened, fortunately, quickly for you. I know it was a horrible experience, but fortunately it happened quickly because sometimes it takes a long time for that to happen. And then what happens is you don't really put two and two together and you don't like tie it to the medication. And when it doesn't get linked to the medication, that's a even bigger problem, right? Yeah. Because then you don't know what created it.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that for me, I'm so aware of my body. So when I had the diagnosis of being gluten intolerant because I had a seizure, because I came home from being out of the country for a year and I just wanted everything American, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just eating like, you know, everything. Yeah. And then my body went into shock and I had a seizure.
Yeah.
Wow. And so when the doctor talked to me and I was like, okay, let's go be eating. Like, after they did all the tests, let's go what you ate, you know. Then the doctor's like, I think I want to put you on this. No eating, this anything with gluten in it. So I want you to start paying attention to the labels. So I started doing that. And now I'm so conscious of it. Now I do it all the time. So if I'm putting something in my mouth that might be foreign, it picks it up right away. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's from that. Yeah. So I know what goes into my body. I know what I react, how I react, and I get rid of it. So I start getting rid of things. And this is my first instance of medications in general. You know, I've had medications, not long-term, like, cause I had a car accident, you know, and they gave me medications for that, but it wasn't long-term, you know, it was till I got better, you know, then I was like, I'm getting rid of that, you know, I'm getting rid of that.
Yeah, I'm less concerned. Like if you have a medical procedure that's really called for and they give you something short-term to deal with that, the pain or whatever, I have no problem with that. That is not the issue. The issue is that medication is prescribed before lifestyle adjustments are recommended.
Right.
Because most people honestly don't want to change their lifestyle and diet, right?
I do.
And so I get it that doctors are just like, nobody wants to do this anyway. Here, pop the pill, you know?
No way. I was like, let's do this. So I'm one to always go to the less evasive. Let's find out, like, let's do a genetic testing. Let's see what's going on, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm one for that. And I was like, doesn't my insurance cover that? So I'm talking like this to him. Yeah. And he's just looking at me. And he says, oh, you want any medication? I said, you didn't even look at my chart. Like, why would you ask me that? You're sitting right in front of me. And I was like, I don't have any medications. I think I take a vitamin, you know, and I think I have like, you know, like herbs that I take for like my bones and everything. So I was like, that's it. So he's like, well, you got to have this. And he just kept talking to me. I said, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to see.
Yeah, about you know, when they meet somebody who's not on any medication, they can't believe it, especially like if you're not
his face was like,
and you're not on a medication. It's like, oh, we totally like, have to indoctrinate you. Then you need to be on something.
I'm telling you, that was the look he gave me. He was like, you're not on any medication?
Yeah. I was like, no. Like, you got to be on something.
Really? You're not?
Yeah, we might as well break you in now because I'm about to like pile it on, right?
He was making it his mission, like his whole mission. And I said, you know, I don't want this cardiologist. So what I did was I you know, got second opinions. And then all of a sudden, boom, like, no, this is what we could do. And then it made more sense to me. Okay, yeah, we can do that. Let's figure out what's going on. You know, and I know you talk about a part about, you know, your emotions too. I believe that so wholeheartedly that, you know, you could be stressing out about something and those things can happen, you know, or contributors of it, whatever the case may be.
You mentioned trauma and, and remember a moment ago, I talked about that factor between 60 and 100%.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's where trauma comes in.
Yeah.
Emotional disturbance that has gone all the way to trauma tends to be where we get stuck. And, and so, when I was doing my doctorate, paper, I did my doctorate paper on bioenergetics, using bioenergetics, in the process of developing protocols for patients. Right. And one of the studies that I quoted was, a study where they evaluated a group of people that had gone through a really super stressful, traumatic period, maybe death of a loved one, maybe, you know, really painful divorce, you know, that sort of thing. And the people that were able to process that and sort of move through it and move on with their life without getting really like angry and resentful and having it just consume them, they were fine. But the ones that really couldn't get past it, a super high percentage of those people ended up developing cancer.
I am total agreement with that. Everyone that, you know, and we see these examples in our families and friends, you know, I've seen friends have like this traumatic experience. One woman I knew, her husband went to jail for, I think, assaulting a child, and immediately she developed breast cancer and just died. And she was really young. She never had no inkling or nothing. She was holding it in and she was trying to deal with it and nobody was there for her. And I saw her just like deteriorate before my eyes and she developed breast cancer and then it spread all over her body within 6 months. So I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen with so many, you know, you talk about that word stuck. I use that word all the time. Stuck, stuck, stuck. If you're stuck, you're stuck here. You have to, you know, it's like getting rid of a blood clot, wouldn't you say? You have to do something.
Yeah, and it honestly is not that different, right? You know, you've got to have somebody that you can work with. So there's only so much I can do. I can give people support to help them like soothe that emotional kind of stuckness, but you're going to need some professional support. My husband is a psychotherapist trained in trauma. It sounds like you do similar kind of thing, but you've got to have somebody that you can work with to unblock that trauma, to help you reprocess that trauma and reframe it so that you can go on living your life. Yeah. It's something you experienced. It's not a life sentence, but but our it gets stuck in our brain. The way I like to explain it to people is essentially when we have any experience, anything we experience, our brain kind of opens up a file. It's like, oh, here's this experience, and here's all these things related to this file. And this file's kind of like sitting there open until we're kind of through it. And then, oh, file closed in my memory, right?
Right.
But what's what happens with trauma, because it gets like so viscerally stuck in our cells, and it it brings up so much fear and emotion that we've got this file all stuck with all this, these experiences, and it's still open.
That's right.
Yeah. Still like sitting there in like the current, you know, ready to go at any moment part of our
any
brain.
Moment, the file's open.
And, and, you know, no wonder everything else is taking a back seat, right? Absolutely. Like it's, it's trying to squeeze everything else out. Because it's like, no, you don't understand. At any point in time, like you could get attacked by a lion, you know, you got to like keep this on high alert. And, you know, and if you're through it, you know, it's one thing if, you know, you're still standing in the middle of the highway and you got to like make sure you don't get hit by a truck, right? But if you're through it, you need to get some help closing up that file, getting it filed appropriately so that you can move on.
That's correct. And this is a great time to talk about detox, right?
Yeah.
Because detoxing, I have so many clients, they're doing everything, superwoman, they're doing everything. And one of my clients, I'm always saying to her, you have to let some things go. Because, you know, then the things that you need to do, you procrastinate or you put it off.
Yeah.
But You said it well in chapter 10. You're not a lazy procrastinator. You're an overwhelmed multitasker. Can we talk about detoxing some of this all over superwoman stuff?
So I am a work in progress on this one myself. It is 100%, you know, not something I profess to have completely figured out. The issue is that we have all these open loops. That's a technical term for it. And anything that's unfinished is an open loop. So, oh my gosh, I make to-do lists and to-do todays and still I can't stay on top of it. And I end up with, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with some new, it's essentially like an answer to one of the open loops, but the answer's coming in the middle of the night when I'm supposed to be sleeping. Right.
Wow.
And so, so we need to do a really good job of capturing all these little fragments somewhere. You need a repository somewhere. I use Evernote. I use I use Notability on my iPad, and I have an Apple Pencil. I can handwrite or I can type it in there. So you've got to have a repository of all these little fragments, because those fragments are going to constantly be little reminders. Oh, you need to write that down. Oh, you need to do this. Oh, you need to do that. And then you've got to have some process for prioritizing the fragments, right? And that's where what you just suggested comes in. You've got to get real and drop what isn't realistic, right? Yeah. So if you have a list of hundreds of fragments of things, right? Like there's only a handful of those you can realistically work on, but there, you know, maybe you want to once a quarter or even once a year as part of your sort of annual review, visioning into the new year, go through your list of fragments and just say like, can I delete half this stuff? You probably can, you know, like what's going to make the cut going into next year, but at least you captured it somewhere. And if you're, ever thinking like, oh, it feels like I'm forgetting something, you can go back to your fragments list and say, you know, what was it that I jotted down? And otherwise, it's just, you know, put the latest thing at on the top and move the rest of it down and that's just right. keep a long running list and don't worry yep. about editing it and ticking things right. off or whatever. Yep. It's just there for exactly. your reminders. And that's then great. Create some sort of daily or weekly habit of trying to get pretty focused on what yep. you're going to focus on this week. Absolutely. One of the things that I think we're all guilty of is not celebrating our wins, what we actually did accomplish, because okay. you know, if you if we were coaching somebody else, right, we would say, well, you know, tell me what you accomplished, and we might say, oh, not really much, gosh, there's so much on the list, I've got so much to do, blah blah blah. No, let's say, what did you actually do today? And we go through all the things we did today, and it's like, well, I created an interview, and I had a I had an interview, and I created a video, and I wrote a blog post, and I answered some questions from patients, and I, you know, and you start like listing all, and I put on a pot of soup in the slow cooker, and you know, once you start listing all the things you did, it's like, holy moly, I accomplished a lot today, right? Like, how can I possibly say I didn't do much today or I didn't accomplish anything? You know, it's just because we minimize what we have accomplished. And and so that's another thing that I think really helps reduce stress, is to celebrate what we actually are accomplishing. And
that's correct. So, audience, I want you to get this book, What's Your Kryptonite, by our Dr. Gala Gorman. This book will help you guide through recognizing the signs of stress that are becoming toxic. Identify the stressors that are causing the problem. Eliminate the things that will be most helpful. Reverse course when it's still easy, and restore your superpowers. This is it. Dr. Gala, is there anything you could share with our audience to encourage them today?
You know, every little thing you do is just going to start to snowball into making a big difference. And so if you just find, like, for example, Edna, just encourage you to get my book. Go get my book. Make that happen. It's a very, you know, inexpensive thing to get on Amazon. And and just start reading it. And one of the things that I encourage in the book is just, you know, don't worry about applying everything I mentioned. I just really want to plant some seeds and to remind you, like, when you start seeing some of these things, you say, oh yeah, she talked about that. Where is that book? You know, like, flag some pages, put some sticky notes in it like Edna did. So when you are reminded of it down the road, you know where to go back to. But just do one or two little things today, and it'll start to add up and make a positive difference in your world.
Absolutely. Well, all of Dr. Gala Gorman's information will be on the audio version as well as the video version. So, Dr. Gala, you want to give them the website they can find you?
Yes, I'm at drgala.com. That's drgala.com. And if you go to drgala.com/links, you'll find a link directly to buy the book. You'll find a way to join my mailing list to get my weekly newsletter. I have a little quiz to help you evaluate how stress is affecting you at the moment. And, you know, just a handful of things there that are easy access links. So drgala.com/links.
Awesome. And just like that, another episode wraps up. Thank you for so much for tuning in this week's ride of Keeping It Real on Purpose. And listen, if you're ready to level up your life, hit the like button, smash the subscribe, and join the community that you can hear wonderful women like this and men like Dr. Gala Gorman talk about things that you might not even know that's happening in your life. We want to thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you again. Thanks so much, and bye for now.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Charlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.